Let me invite you over to the book of 2 Samuel tonight, chapter 16 and verse 13. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary," noticed, "and refreshed themselves there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we have to gather together in your house. Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, speak to us and may you be glorified, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is A Strange Place of Refreshment. A Strange Place of Refreshment. You know, we can find the Lord and the things of the Lord in strange places, not where we would expect. We think about Beulah Land and we praise God and all that those good things, and that's true. But you know, we can see the Lord sometimes in times of trials and difficulties. The Lord reveals himself there. And so that's important to understand. And that's a movement of faith as well on our part. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that's the truth. And we can seek the Lord in those times when it appears that we can't see him at all. And so this is important. So here we find really a strange place of refreshment. And by the way, that's God's place of refreshment. He's there with us. He never leaves us. And here, as we consider the place and where this is taking place, David's son Absalom has conspired against David to overtake the kingdom. And by the way, the sin has already been taken place with David and Bathsheba, just to kind of chronologically let you know where we're at. And Solomon has already been born. And so I want you to understand where this is taking place. And David now is on the run. He's leaving the kingdom. He does not want to battle his son. And so he's willing to leave peaceably before anything happens. Now, does this please King David? Not at all. Not at all. But he does not want to put his hand out against his son. And so we find him here on the run. I want to look at just a couple of thoughts tonight. We'll see David's sorrowful hope. We'll look at David falsely accused, and this happens, this can happen and will happen in the life of believers. And then David's testing, David's Goliath. Once again, we'll see David's Goliath and God's place of refreshment ultimately here at the end. But I would like to back you up, if you would, with me. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 15, just one chapter before. Maybe it's just on the left side of your Bible. And chapter 15, verse 30. And we find David's sorrowful hope. He's here getting ready to get the people to move and to leave. And so verse 30 of 2 Samuel 15. "And David went up by the ascent of," notice, "Mount Olivet." Sound familiar? "And wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." Now these are David's mighty men. And so they're weeping. So here's a time of sorrow, but in the midst of sorrow, for the people of God, there is hope. Listen, it's unfortunate, and maybe not unfortunate. It's just part of life where we will have times of sorrow. Everybody's going to face that on this side of eternity. But praise God, for the believer, we have hope. Imagine, listen, the whole world experiences sorrow. The bad part is without hope. But the child of God has hope. And so David has hope, as well as all these people here that are with him. And we find here this battle that we talked about this morning of yielding to the Spirit, not leaning to the flesh and the strength of the flesh. And you'll find that conflict here. David is completely in tune with the Lord and how to really help these other men here that are following him to also put their faith and trust in the Lord and not in the strength of the flesh. So here they are, they're sorrowful, they're weeping. Look at verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So Ahithophel here was supposed to be a spiritual leader. Now he's a counselor here for Absalom. David is asking the Lord to turn this to foolishness so that he would not overcome, because Absalom was one that was not being led by the Spirit of God. And David recognized that. Now, David's in a pickle, between a rock and a hard place. And that is because he knows his son is not doing right, but he loves his son. And he does not want to put his hand out against his son. And the Lord, listen, that there was nothing wrong with what David was doing other than just being careful that in the midst of that we don't put God in second place. We make sure that we keep God in first place all the time. So verse 32 says this here, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. And you'll see why here in just a moment, verse 34. But if thou return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So here he is, he's saying, listen, I'm convinced the Lord presented that. Now he is wanting him to overthrow Absalom's counselors. He does not want him to be successful. He knows that's the right thing to do. And so he just asked the Lord. Then we just read, O Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Isn't that what David just prayed? And guess who shows up? The very person that could do that for him, that could go over there and do that for him. And so we find this hope that David had, and this man was willing to do that and to really be a help to David and what was taking place. So let me now show you what's happening here really in our text. And we want to go over to 2 Samuel 16:5, and we see what's happening. David now is on the run. He's leaving the throne. He's leaving the city. And we find verse 5, it says this, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Now, this is King Saul. And King Saul, let me just tell you where King Saul was at. I'm going to give you my opinion, all right? I've struggled with this. Was King Saul saved or not? Well, the Spirit of God was in King Saul. And I think he walked with the Lord, and he did for a short while, he did well, until he began to look to himself and not the Lord, until he started to compromise the word of God, the command of God, and start to take things unto himself for his own benefit and his own gain. And that's where the problem arose, and that's where the division took place. You know why? We cannot serve ourselves and God. Why? Why can you not serve? Why can we not serve both? Because you know the answer. Our ways are not God's ways. They're just not. As much as we'd like to think they are, they're not. And so tonight, I just want to spend a few moments here contemplating what David was experiencing, that we might also experience the same steadfastness in the Spirit of God, that we also might experience in times of sorrow hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants us to walk in, that we can, even though in a difficult situation, in fact in a strange place, in a place unexpected, we can find refreshment in the Lord, because we're always in his hands. And so there are places that are emotionally that we can be brought into, there are places physically that we can be brought to, that, you know what? God's there. You know why? Because God's everywhere. Listen, you cannot run away from God. You try doing that, you will run into God every time. It just doesn't work. And so here's the situation where this man from Saul, and again, I want to just say, I believe Saul is a perfect picture of a saved man who has gone away from the Lord. I believe he had a testimony of salvation. I believe he prophesied with the prophets of God, and now he's gone south. And now this is somebody who who's of the lineage of Saul, of the family of Saul. And the example that Saul gave was not a help to him finding the ways of God. Now, David, listen, it is tough enough. It is a battle enough to not walking with the Lord, but when we choose to walk with the Lord, we put forth a positive influence. But I hope and pray that you'll realize this. As long as you are walking with the Lord, you put forth the example that was necessary. The blood's off your hands. And it's not that we're looking for the blood to be off of our hands. We would rather see all of our family members in heaven. That's what we want to see. But if you are dedicated and if you are committed to walking by the grace of God, walking after the Lord, then you have done due diligence concerning your personal walk with the Lord and the example that you should have been. There's not ever going to be a perfect example. David, a man after God's own heart, unfortunately. But wait, that's not an excuse for us to walk in those things. David would tell you that was a big mistake, that I should have never done that. But God in his mercy. Why? Because he picked up, he said, now you're going to see this here now. After his sin with Bathsheba, he's walking right with the Lord. That was a bad place. And the wrong place. He was out of place. And so is every child of God that is not walking upright before the Lord. Because God has made every concession and every opportunity for the child of God to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God has not asked you and I to do anything that he will not do through us. And that's the hope of glory. We are kidding ourselves. We are not understanding the Word of God. We are not hearing the Word of God in the New Testament and really throughout the Old Testament as well. As you study the Word of God, you will find that if you seek the Lord, guess what you'll do? So if you call upon the Lord, will he not answer? And will he not perform that which he promised to do? Is God somebody who keeps his promise? So if his promises are not being fulfilled in our lives, where's the problem? Is it with God or is it with us? So it's with us. That is something that we subconsciously, because of the natural man, we separate. We don't blame God. We just say, I just can't do it. But that is to deny what God's promises have said. So we need to call upon the Lord to fulfill this. And so David experienced that. Do you think David for one moment thought he defeated Goliath all by his little old lonesome? Do you think he ever believed that? No. He said, this day, he says, God's going to take care of you. And you will be fed to the fowls of the air, and your carcass will be, you know, laying out there. It's going to be God that's going to show you who the deliverer is. And so even David understood that. And we're going to see he's going to face his Goliath here in just a moment. But I want you to see this false accusation. And look with me in verse 6. This is Shimei here. And he cast stones at David. This is Shimei. And at all the servants of King David. Now you got to remember who these guys are. These are several hundred guys that were mighty warriors. You would look at them and if you looked at their credentials as to what they had done, you'd say, I don't want to mess with them. And that's because God was blessing what they were doing. And so they're casting stones at David. And by the way, remember, David's the giant killer, right? But really, we know it was God through him. And so the mighty men were there on his right hand and on his left. Did you see that at the bottom of verse 6? So the mighty men are on both sides. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, notice, come out, thou bloody man. He's saying this to David. And thou man of Belial. the devil. That's not a kind thing to say. But you got to be careful when unkind things are said to you. Don't let it rile you up. They said Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub, right? By Belial. And so if they did it to our master, will they not do it to us? And sometimes we forget that. And so verse 8, the Lord, he's getting spiritual now, all right? Shimei is. And he's not in right standing with the Lord. He's completely wrong in this. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. By the way, did David kill Saul? Did David put his hand on Saul? Not once. Could he? More than once, he could have done it. But he did not. So this was a false accusation. And we know that the accuser of the brethren is the devil. And so he's not being led by the Spirit of God to say this. He is the one that is a child of the devil that is making these accusations, for sure, at least in the spirit of the devil. So the Lord hath, verse 8, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And by the way, that was putting salt on the wound there. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. It's almost like he can't say anything. You know, you're in that place where it's not true, but to say it's not true is not going to do anything. So you know what he did? Listen, he didn't defend himself. He did not try to explain himself. He just humbly walked on. Now I want you to see the test here, and I want you to see the spirit of Christ, and you're going to see David's Goliath here. But listen, and by the way, David's an example. And he is encouraging those that are with him to understand the Spirit of God. Now, I will tell you this. David is in a good place in his heart and mind right now. He's in tune with the Lord. He really is. You and I can be in tune with the Lord as well. You will find, as you seek the Lord and ask him, you will find where God will do things, just like he's doing here for David, he will do for you and I. Why has all Scripture been given to us? What does the Bible say? Is it not for our example? All right? Is it not for our correction? The correction in our thinking. May we realize the example that God has given to us was not to puff up David, not to blow wind in his sails. That's not what it's there for. And by the way, listen, it's to glorify the Lord and to point out to you and I that God wants to do the same in your life and mine. And so, And I tell you that for this reason. Ready? Believe it or not, I need to be reminded, amen, every day about the grace of God. I am flesh and blood just like you. I hope, I don't believe you do, but I hope you don't think that, oh, well, that's a preacher. He doesn't have those problems. What? What? Listen, there is nothing that has happened to any one of us that is uncommon or unexperienced by mankind. The difference is the grace of God in our lives. And so when we look at this, now I appreciate Abishai here, okay? I do, I really do, but he's not right here, okay? Maybe that's the flesh on my part. But anyway, verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and I will take off his head. Go, Abishai. Amen. Not really. That's not right. That's not right. But I do appreciate that he was willing to defend his king. All right? I do appreciate that. But I do want you to know this. It was not spiritual. The best of intentions is wrong. That's not the way God was working. Remember Peter? Let's look at Peter. And they came out against the Lord Jesus Christ. He happened to have a sword on him. Do you remember what happened there to Malchus? And I will just tell you this. I don't believe that Peter was a dead shot. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. Do you? And the Lord puts his ear back on there. Remember? After Peter does that. And that was not the right thing to do. That was not the right thing to do. Was Peter's motive genuine for the Lord? Absolutely. But it was carnal. It was still full of self, and we could do that too. And so I say that, you know, I just want you to know, Inwardly, silently, yay, Abishai, but it's not right. Okay, all right, okay, all right. So, verse 10, and this is the right spirit here. And the king said, and this is, listen, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Now, here's where you find the Goliath test again here. All right, here's where you find David battling with Goliath. Look where David's coming from here. Look at verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Look where he's seeing. Look where his eyes are at. Ready? Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Now listen very carefully what David is saying. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? In the heart and mind of David, there's no question. God has given him permission. When things come into our life, God has allowed it. Listen, self must be crucified to see that. Don't admit to this, okay? But how many times have you gotten upset because things didn't go your way? That's not the Spirit of God. That's us. That's ourselves. And Paul said, I crucify the flesh how often? Daily. You know what that means? That's not just in the morning. That's throughout the day. Daily. Why? Because I will not hear the Spirit of God if self is on the throne. I won't hear it. And so he says, he says, hey, listen, God has allowed this. And at the end of verse 10, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Let's not question God in that is what he's saying. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants. So see, David's direction is turned. What is David doing? He's wanting them. Listen, this is a good thing. When the Spirit of God is flowing through us like that, that is a wonderful opportunity to share the wisdom of God and to explain where the Lord is coming from. So listen to what he's saying right here. And by the way, he's defeating David's Goliath here. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth from my bowels. He's wanting them to get this relationship. Remember, it's my son that came forth from my bowels. Do you know why he did that? Because every father there could identify with the love that they would have for their son. And so it was like it's his son, right? And then he said, so let's look at that again. And David said to Abishai and to his servants, behold, my son, which came forth from my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? In other words, I'm giving my son leeway. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. Let him alone and let him curse. Notice, hear it again. Hear it again. Just like when he fought Goliath. For the Lord hath bidden him. And you know what David is saying? I'm going to let the Lord have his way. You know what David is saying? This has not escaped the Lord's eye. In fact, does the Lord not know everything that has taken place from eternity past? Is this true? Everything that will ever happen in our lives, God has already seen it. That's the foreknowledge of God. Now listen, I'm up here today, and I want you to know this. That's the wisdom and understanding that God would have us to walk in. That, Lord, you solidify that in my mind so that I know that in eternity past, whatever comes my way, I can walk assuredly that you've already seen it. Not only have you already seen it, but you have scrutinized it. You have, and that's the idea, you know, you see the Olympics and the judges come out there and they hold their numbers. That means they are looking at every little movement to grade it. God has scrutinized everything and he has sifted out what he did not want to happen and he allowed what he did want to take place for our good and his glory. So he has come to this conclusion. And watch this. He says, for the Lord, in the bottom of verse 11, hath bidden it. And what he's saying, I'm okay on it. Verse 12, it may be, he knows the Lord here, it may be, remember, he's the friend of God and a man after his own heart. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. You know what he's saying? The Lord's done that before. Has the Lord not ever flipped something to work out for your good? Can he do it again? He can. So, we see David's Goliath. And now we come to this last thought here, and that's God's place of refreshment. And it's a strange place, because where's David right now? Where are the mighty men? They're hurting. Didn't we just see they were all weeping? All right, so they're not really in a, they're not in a happy, joyous place, excuse me, and yet they found God's place of refreshment, which was a strange place. Verse 13, and as David and his men went by the way, listen, as we walk by faith, and that's what David just pointed his men to, because if it was up to Zeruiah, Shimei would be a dead man. And there was no doubt in his mind that he could do what he promised to do. There's no doubt in his mind. But David said, that's not the spirit. That's not the way to do it. Had Zeruiah done that, they would not have found what they're getting ready to find. David, all of these men are in a low place. Do you know that many times we are on the threshold of the peace of God? And if we're not careful, if we act in the flesh, we'll miss it. Spiritually speaking, when somebody does something unkind against us. Remember when Saul was throwing javelins at David? Huh? What did he do? He moved out of the way, didn't he? And then he did something even better. He acted like the javelin was never thrown. Somebody might throw something unkind at you. The best thing to do is nothing. And then act like you have, like they didn't even throw it. That means treat them kind. That would be the spirit of Christ. And that we cannot do without Christ. When something is thrown at us, words, whatever. In David's case, a javelin. He moved out of the way and did not hold that against King Saul. And notice again, verse 13 and 14, and we're finished. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went. So get this, I mean, he's throwing stuff at them and he's casting words at them as they're walking, and threw stones at him and cast dust along the way. Now watch this. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary, they're tired, and refreshed themselves there, in that place. In the midst of a storm, God can bring refreshment. In the midst of a desert, God can provide an oasis for you and I to find refreshment. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, everything that you've said is true. And Lord, I believe, and the next part has to be there too, Lord. Help thou mine unbelief to believe that I might walk in your grace and peace. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation and opportunity to call upon the Lord and say, bring me to that place, Lord, every day of my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your word that brings understanding and wisdom and truth. And Lord, I pray that it would penetrate our hearts and remain in the inward parts, that we might walk in them and that you might be glorified. Bless and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.